Davidson, and we're talking about something that you probably, a lot of you don't know about. But Anthony Bosch and Biogenesis supplied thousands of people with steroids. And where he really screwed up was doing it for kids, high school kids. The parents would bring their high school kids in. And so this is a story about a lot about A-Rod, Major League Baseball, and how Major League Baseball was what bunch of idiots they were as well. But it's really well put together. He lip-synced. The people were talking about different things, and he lip-synced kids and made them look like them. And it was really, really, really well done. And Billy Corbin, who produced this thing, is with us here on ESPN 97.5. Billy, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
We appreciate you. It's hard to ask where to start, but I'm going to start here. Did you, before you started doing this and investigating this, know what a scumbag Alex Rodriguez was?
I guess it's a matter of perspective. You have to recall that this guy was in a battle for his career and his legacy with another man who was Bud Selig, you know, the commissioner of baseball at the time, was also in a battle for his legacy. You know, I mean, Bud Selig is and forever will be the steroid commissioner of baseball. I don't know that there's any one person on earth who exploited and benefited more from steroid use in baseball than Bud Selig did. And so he needed to look like he was doing something about it or had done something about it on his way out the door, you know, before he was retiring. And what could have been a greater symbol of that, you know, than getting the scalp of the highest paid player in history, Alex Rodriguez, who, yes, had lied and cheated and used performance-enhancing drugs multiple times throughout his career and finally got caught. So, I mean, it's kind of like, you saw the movie, so it's kind of like who's the bigger liar, cheater or thief in all of this? Is it Major League Baseball? Is it Alex? Is it all these clowns on the ground in Miami? It's a tough call.
Billy Corbin joining us on Netflix right now. Screwball is available, and it is a great watch. If you haven't watched it yet, do fire it up tonight. If you're a sports fan, baseball fan, or just a documentary fan, you did it again, Billy. And it's so interesting to watch all this play out. So with A-Rod, you know, I started when I was watching it. I had two screens on. One was for the actual documentary. The other one was for the wildest moments in the documentary. And one of them, speaking of A-Rod, was during the hearings. He hires a group of people, pays them with pizza. The signs all look the same. It's like that. That was like the 18th most ridiculous thing in the whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember, it's hard for people now, like my mom, who only know him as J-Lo's fiance, you know, to remember that he was not a very well-liked figure in baseball. I mean, he got booed by his own fans, you know, Yankees fans. So this was a guy who there was not a real groundswell of grassroots support for in New York when he was going through the arbitration, fighting the longest suspension in the history of the game at MLB headquarters in Manhattan. And so there wasn't, like, a bunch of protesters that were going to show up and support Alex, so he had to pay them to show up. And what was funny is that you do notice that the posters, you know, like the protest posters that they're holding up, are all written in the same handwriting with the same black Sharpie. So there was definitely an organized faction here that put this all together. It was part of the theater and the kind of PR offensive that Alex was instituting at the time and really has been instituting ever since. And if you think about it, it's been really successful.
I don't know if I've ever seen... There were no protagonists in this. Everybody looked bad. Every single person in this whole documentary, if you were in it, you're like, oh, why is Billy doing this to me?
Yeah, well, listen, it's a uniquely Florida and Miami story in that regard. You know, our economy down here is not a real white market economy. There's a lot of black market, but most of us exist in the gray market. It's a gray market economy. So everybody kind of walks that tightrope. It's the only way to make a living down here. The cost of living is too much. 60% of the people in Miami-Dade County can't even afford to live in the county. So everybody's got a hustle and a side hustle, and their side hustles have got side hustles. and everybody kind of exists in this gray market world. And so once you come down here, like the Major League Baseball investigators, once they got down here, they started acting a fool too. You know, they were having, one of them had an affair with one of the nurses at a Tony Bosch clinic. He was sending flowers to Tony's and gifts to Tony's girlfriend. You had them buying stolen medical records, knowingly buying stolen medical records with cash, with some MLB slush fund money from a convicted felon in a diner. There was no end to the Florida effery, as we call it, but not quite that censored. And everybody, it seemed to, you know, it's something about Florida. I think when you roll around in the swamp, you're bound to get some mud on you. And I think that's what happened to everybody in this story.
Screwball available right now on Netflix. Make sure you guys watch it. Billy Corbin with us. The first thing that stood out to me was when Tony Bosch is starting everything up and he's getting going, he starts traveling with Manny Ramirez. And my dude is not only putting him on a protocol, but also reading him bedtime stories.
And sleeping in the same room. What the hell?
Well, you know, you remember Manny being Manny, that phrase. This is peak Manny being Manny. And so apparently he didn't like to sleep alone. There was something about the quiet that he just couldn't fall asleep. And so Tony Bosch, Manny Ramirez was his first VIP client, where he offered a concierge service. He would literally travel with him on the road, and Manny would have to identify him to people as, like, his nutritionist or his marketing guy or whatever. They couldn't say, oh, this is my steroid guy, you know. And Tony would administer these protocols of human growth hormone or testosterone and take blood and run tests or whatever the hell he was doing. And he would sometimes stay in the same room. Manny would get twin beds. And Tony would have to sit up and tell Manny a bedtime story and just keep talking until he finally drifted off to Slumberland.
Billy Corbin with us here. Screwball on Netflix. You got to watch it. It's a great watch, especially if you're a sports fan and you get the inside look. I got a question. I mean, I don't want to know the exact, but you must have paid Tony Bosch a lot of money to do this, because why else would he possibly make himself look so terrible?
I think he was just honest, you know. I think he was ready to come clean. I think, you know, I think he was working a system. I think he's, you know, he's been in recovery trying. You know, I mean, he admits to a $5,000 a month cocaine habit. $5,000 a month. I mean, that's wild. And so I think he's trying to clean up his act, and part of that process was to come clean and to, admit his transgressions, and he does in pretty vivid and comical detail. I think you've lived that kind of life and made the kind of decisions that he's made. If you tell the truth, you're going to look more than a little shady, and I think that's what he did. And he was shockingly honest with us in the interviews. Let's say that.
Hey, if Porter Fisher doesn't blow this entire thing up over the money, do you think this operation Biogenesis is still going on?
Oh yeah, and there are, you know, when one Biogenesis closes, another one opens. You know, there's always another, you know, with Valco before that. There's always going to be another one of these spots, and it's real easy to find it in Miami. What you do is you just drive around these sort of like strip malls or like, you know, little office parks in Hialeah or South Miami or Coral Gables, and you look for some place with a nondescript, like, you know, clinic sign or something, and you look for a bunch of cop cars from different police departments out in front of it, and usually that's the next Tony Bosch. That's the way to find them.
Billy Corbin with us here. Screwball on Netflix. That's a must watch if you're a sports fan. Have you heard from any of the participants since the finished product, and would they in any way, shape, or form be unhappy with you?
Yes and yes, but I'll tell you, we spoke to a lot more people off camera and off the record than we did in the documentary, and that was for the purpose of vetting the information, making sure everything was factual, and in 20 years of making documentaries, this is the most meticulously researched and fact-checked piece of work we've ever done, as ridiculous as it is, because you're telling facts that are totally farcical, and nobody would believe you. You know, if you made them up. And so we had to make sure that everything was accurate and everything was true. And I will tell you that even people who weren't happy with the final product, nobody said it wasn't true. And nobody pushed back on any of the facts as we presented them. In fact, everybody we've spoken to before and after the movie came out confirmed that everything in it is accurate, even though they might not be happy with us, you know, amplifying the story and those facts. They've confirmed everything in it. And how could you make up that the career of the highest paid baseball player in history, a $400+ million man, effectively ended over a $4,000 debt between a cocaine-addicted fake doctor and his fake tan-addicted steroid patient? I mean, you can't make this up.
Hey, the decision to use the child actors, was that just because the entire story is so wild that like that's the only way to portray it? Is that why you did it?
What child? All right. So yeah. Well. So listen, we had a unique challenge. We did some ESPN 30 for 30s. You know, we did the U part two, and it's a pretty straightforward process there. You know, you talk to sports people, they tell you about sports, and you use the sports footage and you edit it together. Here, you might remember they only mentioned two or three baseball games in the whole movie. You know, so that's all the sports footage you need. What do you do for the other hour and 40 minutes? So you have this shady stuff going down in clinics and hotel rooms and locker rooms and, you know, nightclubs. So we knew we needed to do reenactments and recreations. So we wanted to do it in a way where we sort of steered into the curve here, because this is like a Coen Brothers, Elmore Leonard, Carl Hyacin-esque, like, you know, sort of craziness. And it struck me that everybody, all these adults, acted like children. And so I thought it would be fun. Maybe we get some kids together. We put some mustaches and beards and lab coats and pinstripes and police uniforms. And we shot everything on location. We actually went to Live Nightclub at the Fountain Blue. We went to the Sports Grill where Porter Fisher actually turned the files over to the Miami New Times reporter, which blew the lid off the whole scandal. We actually went around Miami with these little kids dressed as adults, lip-syncing, you know, Drunk History style, this dialogue. And what's funny about Miami is nobody looked at us twice. Nobody thought this was weird or unusual that we were doing this. Like, nobody even said, what's that kid with a beard doing, that 8-year-old kid with a full beard? No, nobody thought that that was strange. It was just another day in Miami.
It was ingenious. It's a really, really, really well done Screwball, and it's on Netflix. You've got to watch it. And the irony in the whole thing is the guy who made out the most he was a scumbag that was a felon that counterfeited, and he's the one that ended up with the most money in the end, and he really didn't have anything to do with it until Porter told him, hey, I'm going to go get those papers. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, like I said, Miami's a hustle town, so this whole thing was like a cottage industry for a small group of people for a while. You know, these medical records, which exposed a lot of very high-profile people, a lot of Major League Baseball players, college athletes, high school kids. These were a hot commodity. So anywhere that you could get them, I mean, he was selling them to Alex's people. He was selling them to Major League Baseball. He was selling anywhere anyone was willing to pay. And he had a lot of money on the ground. Like I said, Major League Baseball has some kind of slush fund. You know, I don't think they were going to 1099 that felon.
No.
You know, for the $125,000 cash they gave him for stolen records, which, by the way, is a crime that no one from MLB was ever prosecuted for. And, in fact, who at MLB headed up that investigation of Biogenesis and Alex Rodriguez? Rob Manfred, who, in fact, got promoted to now the commissioner of baseball after the Biogenesis debacle. So, Gary, you're talking about Gary Jones, of course, who was a tanning technician whose job it was to change bulbs in the tanning bed, and that's where he met Porter Fisher, and that's how all of this got started. You know, the more I talk about it, the more ridiculous it is.
It would be too unbelievable to be a movie.
Yeah,
you couldn't make this a movie because that couldn't possibly. So it almost had to be a documentary.
Yeah, make sure you guys watch it. Available right now on Netflix. Screwball, Billy. Last question, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this. I know you're as Miami as it gets. We were talking about it earlier. What are your thoughts on the Kenny Stills and Stephen Ross stuff that happened this week?
I think it's a real shame. I mean, you know, Stephen Ross obviously is a billionaire real estate guy, out of New York. I mean, and so he's going to consort with other billionaire real estate guys out of New York. He's known Donald Trump for, I think, going on 40 years now. I think the problem is that, you know, Donald Trump tried to tell us who he was before, but we know who he is now, and there's no denying it. You know, you can't say, I don't support the racist for his racism, I support the racist for his tax cuts, or I support the racist for Israel, or whatever it is. You know, you can't have it both ways, you know? You can't say, well, here I am funding solutions to, you know, racial inequality, but on the other hand, I'm financing the campaign to the tune of a lot of money. I mean, you're talking about a fundraiser for multi-million dollars, and on the other hand, I'm endorsing and funding white supremacy. I just don't think you can have your cake and eat it too. And I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets any better down here, unfortunately, because there's a real backlash to it, and people are profoundly disappointed.
Worse yet, what do you think about the possibility that Josh Rosen is going to be your quarterback?
Well. Well, there's that too. Not enough quarterbacks in the game.
Yeah. So we're boys with Alonzo Highsmith. He's a good friend. I talked to him quite a bit. And did you get to know him well when you did the U?
He was amazing. First of all, he walks in. He's like he was in playing shape when we interviewed him. You know, 20 years later, he was in playing shape, and he was hilarious. And we had a great time. And he has one of the best lines, I think, and one of the quotes I think I most often cite from the first U documentary, which is, you know, he cited the fact that, you know, if the football team had accomplished what they accomplished at any other university in the country, they would have built monuments to those guys. And you go to the University of Miami even today, and you can walk every inch of that campus, and you'll see nothing to indicate the extraordinary success that football program, even the baseball program for that matter, has had, which is a shame when you consider how much that's done financially for the university. And it's a real weird dichotomy. You know, my University of Miami has never been a football school, but yet it was one of the greatest college football dynasties in history. It's a really interesting fact that I don't know I would have been that acutely aware of it had Alonzo not pointed it out to me. These guys have been really underappreciated for all they've done for the school.
I disagree. I think his best line was, "We ain't scared of you, bitch."
"I ain't no bitch."
Yeah, no, "We ain't scared of you, bitch." Yeah. That was his line to Oklahoma.
Man.
On the field. Yeah. Yeah.
I may have a t-shirt with that on.
Oh, my God.
Yep. All right. Hey, Billy, we appreciate it, man. Great stuff. Watch it, Screwball. It's on Netflix. Great, great story. It's an unbelievable story, actually. You'll be shaking your head throughout. It's Screwball on Netflix. Billy Corbin with us here on ESPN 97.5. Thanks for joining us, man.
Anytime. Thank you, guys.
There he is. All right. 713-780-3776. If you want to talk, let's talk about our Texans. They had the game last night. A big game. Huge game.
I got 10 takeaways I want to hit on.
You don't have 10 takeaways. He's lying. That's what Sports Map is for, okay?
That's where I got it from.
So I thought they had 11 takeaways this morning. So they had one more than you. You should have had 12 takeaways. 9 and had one of your own. 918 ESPN 97.5.